Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at the website strugglingteens.com, which includes 26 years of essays, visit reports also, and press releases relating to this network of private, parent-choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is October the 30th, 2015, and we're going to talk about social skills. My guest is Mark Montaguide. He's the clinical director for Glen Home School in Connecticut. And Mark, good to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, the topic title is Can You Teach Social Skills? And we're going to be talking primarily about kids in the spectrum, but Mark tells me this applies to all kids. And so, Mark, social skills, generally, a kid picked that up on the fly from parents, from peers, and on that. But some kids need a little bit more help and focus. So what do you do in that case when a kid just doesn't seem to be picking up the social skills?
Right. Well, it's very common that students who are on the spectrum, who have Asperger's or, you know, on the autism spectrum, really have trouble identifying social cues. There's a lot they miss in conversations and interactions. It can be very hard for them to pick up on body language or, you know, facial expressions, or when somebody's tired of a certain topic, or when somebody, you know, wants to speak themselves. It can be very difficult for them to pick up on those sorts of things. So, you know, we really work with students and helping them understand what these social cues are, what to look for, and how to adjust what they're doing to compensate for the feedback they're getting from the other person.
You know, one thing that I thought I'd heard, and I'm not sure of the percentage, but I've heard that 90% of communication is nonverbal. So if you don't pick up the nonverbal cues, there's not much communication unless you learn how to pick them up. Is that correct?
That is. You know, it's very, very important to work with students on helping them, you know, not just focus on the words they're using, but also looking for what people are doing around them. And a big part of how we teach is helping students become more aware. And that's the first step in our process, is helping students be more aware of what they're doing and how that is affecting other people around them.
Okay, could you give me, for instances, or maybe even a case study or two, what specifically did you have to do with a particular student, or however you can give a little bit of concrete examples?
Sure. So let's say you have a student who has a lot of trouble interrupting. You know, they get stuck on a topic they want to talk about, and that's their focus. They sort of get into that tunnel vision, and all, you know, the only thing on their mind is this topic they want to talk to. And that makes it difficult for them to make friends. It makes it difficult for them to, you know, follow what's going on around them because they're focused on their topic and they tune out everything else. So what we may want to do with that student is, you know, help them focus in more on what's happening around them. So we might do some videotaping. We might do some coaching in the environment to help point out to them, you know, what they're missing and what other people are trying to do, helping them see that, you know, this is the topic of conversation. This is the topic you're talking about. So we need to get these more in line, or, you know, you're focused on this topic, but, you know, your peers here are getting a little upset because that's not what they wanted to talk about. Or your peers are looking a little bored because, you know, they're really done with that topic and they want to move on.
Doesn't that come across a little bit as egoistic? It's not necessarily what's happening, but I think wouldn't the other kids say, oh, they're so full of themselves?
Right. Well, and that's sort of one of the natural consequences that can come out of that. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why we really try to help kids work on this, because when they get out of our supported, structured environment into the real world, and they're going to be, you know, interacting with people in workplaces, people in school, people out in the community. We want to make sure that they're not presenting themselves as you know, egotistical or anything like that. That they're presenting their best face.
Okay. Well, what are some other things that might miss that they might be missing that you need to teach? Not interrupting. Okay. Not talk. Dominate the conversation. Okay. What else might be some problems in this that a Asperger's kid or a kid on the spectrum might be missing?
Sure. I mean, often it may be, you know, a lot of the mechanics of a conversation, tone of voice, volume, eye contact is a very, very big one that we work with students a lot on. And those are all very important aspects of a conversation. You know, they help the person you're talking to get those social cues about how you're feeling and what you're thinking. And those are things that a lot of times, you know, kids are on the spectrum, you know, they miss. They don't have those skills sort of inherently in them to, you know, to make eye contact or to, you know, monitor their own volume and how they're speaking. They may be too loud. They may be too soft. And they may just not realize that or have the awareness to judge that, you know, this person's losing interest because they can't hear me. Or this person is thinking that I don't care about what they're saying because I'm not making eye contact.
Yeah, that's right. Eye contact is an important one, too. How would you go about pointing this out to the kids without coming across as them feeling like you're criticizing them?
Sure. And it's a process with you know, several different steps. And the first step that we do is really sitting down with a student and having a conversation and helping them you know, understand what our role is and helping them develop better skills. But we also want the students to have some ownership over this process. So we really try to help, you know, get the students to a point where they can elicit, you know, this is what I'm struggling with. This is when I have trouble. So it's not just, you know, us sort of dictating what their problems are. And then, you know, we really work with them in developing the best intervention, the most comfortable intervention. Some students respond much better to visual cues, so we might use color-coded cue cards with fun cartoon characters or something, you know, and that's the best kind of cue for them to know that they have to recalibrate their interaction. Other students may benefit from an oral cue where you're going over and you're talking to them and you're reminding them about something that you discussed in session or giving them a code word or, you know, a cue that had been decided on beforehand. Some students prefer the oral but don't want to have it in the environment. They don't want, you know, other kids to see them, you know, getting that direction. So you might wait until, 15 minutes later and then sort of debrief a little bit and then go back and do 15 more minutes and then debrief again. So it really depends on the student and their learning style, but we really try to individualize it to really, you know, meet the student where they are and so that they can benefit the most from the interaction.
Okay, let me throw out a parallel to you and you tell me if you think it's accurate, because I've always sort of considered it somewhat similar to when somebody's colorblind or color weak. And like in my case, I'm color weak, and I just don't see the mix and matches of colors and shapes and stuff like that. So I don't see it, I don't sense it, but I memorize it. Is this what these kids are doing? They're sort of memorizing what things mean because they don't have a natural cue?
Well, and that's true for some of our students. Some of our students, you know, can get to the point where they can recognize and they can be taught to understand what certain things mean. Other students really need scripts, and that might be a script on how to start a conversation and how to maintain a conversation. It may be a script for, as you're suggesting, you know, when somebody, you know, makes this face, you know, it means that they're not interested in that conversation anymore. When somebody makes, you know, rolls their eyes, you know, they're not believing what you're telling them. You know, so it's that sort of thing. I think it's a mix of a lot of different things.
Okay, well, what advice would you give parents that might have a kid that's, say, on the spectrum, Asperger's, high-functioning autism or something, and is having these social problems? What advice would you give the parents as to what to do and how to work with it?
Well, I think there are some components to, you know, to successful social skills coaching that are important to kind of keep in mind and structure how you work with a child or a student who has these deficits. You know, I think for one, using clear step-by-step instructions is important. You know what you're trying to achieve and be clear about it. Gray area, you know, doesn't work well for the general population, certainly doesn't work well with the kind of students we deal with. You have to be specific. You have to explain exactly what you're looking for. You know, you don't want to say to a student, you know, go start a conversation with Billy. That doesn't tell them anything. You want to be specific. You know, you might give the steps to a conversation. You know, look for a topic of interest. You know, is this a good time to have the conversation? Pick a spot to have the conversation. You want to go through the specific steps. As I said before, you also want to involve the child in it. You know, have them have some ownership over it. You know, don't just dictate to them what you think the conversation should look like or what skills you know they need to have. You really should be working on building awareness so that your child understands you know what they need to work on and how they can improve. Knowing your child is also you know very important. You know what their learning style is. Like I talked about, there are a lot of different ways that you can approach coaching. You can do it visually, you can do orally, you could film them and watch the footage later and pick out things that way. You really need to know how your student learns best and what's going to be the best sort of medium for them to really understand what's going on and what they need to work on.
Okay. Well, hey, that sounds very good. We're not running out of time, so I want to get you on to...
Sure.
You're the clinical director for Glen Holm School back in Connecticut. And could you tell a little bit about the school, the type of students you work with, and how people could get a hold of you if they wanted to talk to you or if they had any questions?
Glen Holm School is a boarding and day school for young people with high-functioning autism spectrum disorders, ADHD, PDD, OCD, Tourette's, depression, anxiety, various learning differences. The program provides a treatment milieu designed to build competence socially and academically, and our learning environment supports and enhances the ability for our young people with special needs to succeed, and that really is our focus, empowering students to succeed.
And how would somebody get a hold of you or learn more about the Glen Holm School?
They should contact the Glen Holm Admissions Department at 860-868-7377, or they can check us out on the web at www.theglenholmschool.org. That's THEGLENHOLME school.org.
All right. Well, thank you very much. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report, and been talking with the clinical director of Glen Holm School, Mark Bunaguide, and we've been talking about, can you teach social skills? And yes, you can, even if the kid is on the spectrum. Thank you very much. Good to have you here, Mark.
Thank you.
Bye.